music in that it's one of the first, if not the first, piece of music to incorporated recorded wildlife sounds, bird songs in the score for this music. We'll hear this performance, which, by the way, ends with blazing brass. Very exciting. This performance by the Philadelphia Orchestra, conducted by Riccardo Muti. At the request of Ed in Egg Harbor, the final two sections of The Pines of Rome by Ottorino Respighi, The Pines of the Janiculum and The Pines of the Appian Way, The Blazing Brass of the Philadelphia Orchestra, a 1980s recording conducted by Riccardo Muti. I'm Andras Yochum. Thank you for joining me today on Classics by Request. Ruth Ann Besseman will be back next Saturday. And I'm sorry we didn't get to a couple of other requests, one for the Caucasian Sketches by Ippolitov Ivanov and another one for music by Charles Tomlinson Griffiths, both of which came in the past week. Sorry we didn't get to them. I hope maybe Ruth Ann can get to them next Saturday on Classics by Request. Coming up 1 minute from now, live from the Metropolitan Opera, Der Rosenkavalier, The Rose Bearer, music by Richard Strauss, and the 2016-17 Metropolitan Opera radio broadcast season concludes with this performance by Renee Fleming as she sings her final performance of one of her signature roles, The Marshalin. That coming up in just a few seconds from the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And the weather for today, not bad for graduations going on so many places. Partly cloudy, highs in the 70s. Overnight tonight, clear, lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, but then becoming partly cloudy, highs in the 60s to mid-70s. It's 11:30. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music.
We're live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and we are closing this season of live Saturday matinee broadcasts with an extraordinary event as two divas bid farewell to beloved roles in Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier. Today is soprano Renee Fleming's final performance as the beautiful Marshalin, who is wise in the ways of loving and letting go. And mezzo-soprano Elena Garancia says goodbye to the opera's title role, Octavian, in which she's won tremendous acclaim. They're joined by soprano Erin Morley as Sophie and bass Günter Groysbeck as Baron Ox in this new production. Maestro Sebastian Weigler conducts Strauss's sumptuous score. We're sharing this momentous occasion with opera lovers in cinemas around the world, live in HD, and here in the house, every seat is full. During intermission, HD host Matthew Polanzani will speak with our stars. We'll have a chat with Met General Manager Peter Gelb, and we'll bring you the opera quiz. Stay with us.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network, sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, and I'm with commentator Ira Siff. Ira, what a perfect way to say farewell to our broadcast season and to unforgettable portrayals from a pair of beloved artists.
Yes, at the center of Der Rosenkavalier is the idea of leaving things behind gracefully, a love affair, a phase of one's life, or an entire era.
Well, Renee Fleming has made the Marshalin a signature role for over 20 years, and our audience is showing their love by coming in droves to hear her sing it one last time. Now, this has actually been the first time Elena Garancia has performed the trouser role of Octavian here, but she's been celebrated for it around the world.
Well, both divas handle the details of this dynamic staging with such aplomb while singing gorgeously.
Robert Carson, who directed this new production, moved the setting from the 18th century to 1911, the year the opera premiered. It was a time when the old and new were clashing in important ways, and World War I was looming on the horizon.
Strauss and his librettist Ugo von Hofmannsthal achieved something astonishing with this opera. It evokes a lost era, but it also redefines the devices of music drama in a very modern way, seamlessly incorporating aspects of the 18th, 19th, 20th centuries.
Our opera is in three acts. Here's the synopsis for the first. It takes place in the Marshalin's chambers. She's a married 32-year-old princess who's having an affair with the 17-year-old Count Octavian. They've just spent the night together. And when an unexpected visitor is announced, there's no time for Octavian to escape. So he quickly disguises himself as a chambermaid. The visitor is Baron Ox, a boorish country cousin of the Marshalins. He's come to get her advice because he's about to marry a wealthy young heiress, and by tradition, he needs a gentleman to present a ceremonial silver rose to his fiancée. Well, the Marshalin mischievously suggests the young Octavian. Ox agrees, little realizing that the chambermaid he's been ogling is actually Octavian in disguise. The morning becomes hectic as the Marshalin holds her daily levee, receiving all kinds of people making petitions and requests, including an Italian tenor who performs for her. Ox wrangles a notary over the terms of the dowry and also engages a pair of con artists, Anina and Valzacchi, to track down that pretty chambermaid. By the time the Marshalin is alone again, her mood has darkened. She thinks about what will happen as she becomes older and less beautiful. When Octavian returns, she tells him, to his distress, that she knows one day he'll leave her for another woman. After he departs, the Marshalin realizes with regret that she didn't kiss him goodbye. As the act ends, she sends a servant to deliver the silver rose to Octavian for the presentation ceremony. Well, let's go through this in a little more detail, Ira, starting with that prelude.
Well, you know, one of the French horn players in our orchestra refers to it as hornographic.
Yes, it is.
It depicts the Marshalin and Octavian's sensual pleasure, and then the morning afterglow. It also gives us a hint of what's to come with themes of the presentation of the rose, the event that will change everything later on.
The relationship between the Marshalin and Octavian is clandestine, and that's an aspect of it that they both seem to relish.
Yes, they're in their own little cocoon of a world, and they're very playful with private nicknames for each other, but also quite passionate and tender.
Well, the outer world intrudes in the form of Baron Ox. There is an extended comic scene for the three of them, with Octavian pretending to be the maid, Mariandel.
Oh, and Ox is shameless in his pursuit of Mariandel. When Mariandel flirts back coyly, we're being led in on this private joke that the Marshalin and Octavian are sharing at Ox's expense. Strauss's musical characterizations of these three people are so vivid. Well, four people, if you count Mariandel.
Oh, that's true. Then more of the outside world enters with the Marshalin's levee. We'll hear so many voices, the notary, an animal vendor, three orphans asking for charity, and then there's that Italian tenor.
Now, this is a brief but very showy role with a memorable cameo turn. Matthew Polanzani in this production is done up to look like Enrico Caruso, and the aria is written to evoke the 18th century with high-lying, rapturous melody about, well, love, of course.
Of course. But he storms off in the middle of the second verse when the bickering between Ox and the notary gets too loud. The turning point is when the Marshalin looks in the mirror and tells the hairdresser that he's made her look like an old woman. When she's alone again, she vents some of her feelings, starting with her disgust that Ox should be entitled to a pretty young bride.
In her famous monologue here, the Marshalin reflects on her own passage from a girl fresh out of the convent to marriage, to her current situation, and beyond. She's shockingly candid, envisioning people in the future referring to her as the old Marshalin.
Ironically, her emotional state emphasizes the age difference between her and Octavian. He's unable to comprehend what she's feeling, even as she tries to explain it to him.
Her music sounds both sad, but also gently practical, as she says, "Time is a strange thing. It's all around us. It's inside us as well. It flows between you and me. Today or tomorrow or the next day, you leave me for someone younger and prettier." She overrides his protestations. It's interesting to contemplate that she herself becomes the catalyst for the end of their affair, both by choosing him to be the rose bearer and by pushing him away now.
That Heut oder morgen, today yes. or tomorrow, kind of becomes a theme through the whole thing. Mm. Kurz oder long, either short yes. time or of distant time, you will leave
kind
me,
of
I know.
Inexorably.
Exactly. Well, Der Rosenkavalier was the second collaboration between Strauss and Hofmannsthal, 2 years after Elektra in 1909, and it was an instant hit.
Yes, and so the two men went on to join forces for four more works, Ariadne auf Naxos, Die Frauen aus Schatten, Die Ägyptische Helena, and Arabella.
Hofmannsthal didn't base the libretto for Rosenkavalier on one specific source. He looked to various sources for both the story and the theatrical feel.
Well, a lot of the action was based on a novel called Les Amours du Chevalier de Faublas, and he also found inspiration in the plays of Molière, too. Of course, we can also feel the operatic shadow of Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro in the period, in the trouser role of Cherubino like Octavian, the blending of comedy with touching drama.
And does it ever? That's sort of the main theme of this whole opera, isn't it? The blending of comedy and touching drama.
Often when that's achieved, it's almost a signature of a great piece of art.
It is. And it one of the reasons it lasts and seems so absolutely current to us today.
Indeed.
So we will hear in order of vocal appearance Alina Garanta as Octavian and Renee Fleming as the Marshalin. Her major domo is Scott Scully and Baron Ox, Gunter Groysbeck. The four lackeys are Marco Jordao, Ross Benoliel, Daniel Clark Smith, and Edward Hanlon. The three noble orphans are Maria D'Amato, Christina Thompson Anderson, and Rosalie Sullivan. The milliner is Anne Nonnemacher. The animal vendor, Dustin Lucas. Alan Oak is Valzacchi, and Matthew Polanzani is the Italian singer. James Courtney is the notary, and Helene Schneiderman makes her network broadcast debut as Anina. In non-singing roles, the page Muhammad is Billy Conahan, the noble widow Sidney Fortner, the hairdresser Tom Watson, and Baron Ox's lackey Leopold is Patrick Stoffer. Our concertmaster today is Nikki Chewy, and Sebastian Weigler leads the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra as we come upon Act One of Der Rosenkavalier. The set for Act One is inspired by the Hofburg Palace in Vienna, everything done up in red, ivory, and gold. The curtain rises on a hallway. Octavian slips through a door, sinks into a red couch, and lights a cigarette. Later, the wall rises to reveal the Marshalin's imposing bedroom. The red-patterned wallpaper is covered with oversized paintings, mostly military scenes. When a door on the left opens to admit the Baron, we can see an antechamber beyond it, and beyond that is a succession of other chambers and antechambers. This palace does seem endless. Even though it's 1911, these rooms evoke the 18th century. The costumes, however, reflect 1911, and there's even a little fashion show for the Marshalin during her levee. It's like she's picking out some new dresses that she might want to wear sometime.
Quite a beautiful collection.
Absolutely. So as far as the costumes go, think the first series of Downton Abbey,
yes,
because it's very much that era of the...
And the cut is very, just pre-World War One,
yeah,
very slender cut.
It is.
Very elegant.
It is. So we're right now on the screen, we're watching Peter Gelb, who's introducing this broadcast to the audiences in the movie theaters around the world who are getting ready to watch it live in HD. And I think they're about to cue the maestro to the pit.
Yes, here he comes.
And here he comes. Here's maestro Sebastian Weigler on the podium. He's going to shake hands with Nikki Chewy. Let's hear Act One of Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier.
Mir halt von ihm getroffen.